Not a comp. The trooper stared at the dewdrops on Ryan's visor, puzzled for a second. Ryan could see the guy put two and two together. His expression suddenly changed. His hand reached up for the throat mic.
Oh, no you don't.
The one-eyed man launched himself through the doorway. He hit the trooper with his shoulder as the guy rose from the crouch. Ryan bowled him over the cube backward, and they both crashed against the wall. JB was right on their heels. He pulled the door shut behind him.
Get his hands!
JB caught the gauntlets by the wrists, and the two of them controlled the guy with brute force, making him fight their combined body weight until he'd exhausted himself, which didn't take long. When JB screwed off the guy's helmet, the trooper's eyes got big with fear. He had an angry rash across the top of his shaved skull. It was peppered with sores that oozed pus. The ochre-colored discharge smelled sweet and rank.
Who are you?
I'll ask the fucking questions here.
Ryan showed the soldier the bone blade.
Now where's the cop that controls the cuffs?
When the soldier refused to answer, Ryan held the blade's serrated edge up under his chin.
Did you say something? I don't think I heard you.
Down this hall. Take the first fork to the left. Stay left.
You think he's telling us the truth? Came back kind of quick with the info, if you ask me.
I'm going to give you a chance to change your story. If it turns out you're lying, we're coming back to finish you.
I'm not fucking lying!
Ryan punched him hard on the point of the chin. The back of his head hit the wall, then his eyes fluttered shut. The door to the room opened as JB straightened. Two troopers, one armed with a laser rifle, stepped in. The newcomers were clearly stunned to see an unconscious man in a battle suit, and two guys with air holes punched in the backs of their helmets leaning over him. Before either of the troopers could react, JB grabbed hold of the tri-barrel's flash hider and used the rifle like a lever across the man's chest, forcing him from the doorway and into the corner. The trooper couldn't let go of his weapon to go for the comlink. The other one jumped on JB's back to try to pull him off.
God damn it!
That was a mistake. Ryan lunged up from the floor, throwing an arm around the second guy's helmet from behind, blocking his access to the throat mic. With his other hand, Ryan slipped the point of the bone blade under the armor, just below the man's right shoulder blade. Feeling the angle of the slot between the overlapping plates, he pushed the dagger home. It sank to the hilt. The trooper went rigid against him, as the blade skewered his lung and heart. Then the man sagged, his legs buckling. Ryan let him topple over onto his side. JB, in the meantime, had his hands full. He seesawed back and forth with a pulse rifle, trying to get the advantage on his adversary. He managed to work the guy's back against the wall, but they were too evenly matched, strength-wise. He couldn't get control of the weapon. The armorer timed the flip perfectly. He caught the trooper off balance, pulling as the man pushed. He let himself fall to his butt on the floor, and using the guy's forward momentum, sent him whipping over onto his back across the top of the cube. As the trooper crashed down, he let go of the pulse rifle. Ryan hit the helmet release, and fighting off the trooper's hands, unscrewed it. JB put the muzzle of the tri-barrel against the guy's forehead and dropped the safety.
Darn knife, look at his fucking face!
That was exactly what Ryan was doing. He couldn't help himself.
Holy shit.
The soldier's face was covered with a hideous, weeping red patch. His nostrils were crusted over with scabs, and his left eye was cemented shut. On his cheeks, striated flesh was exposed. He looked like naked muscle. The guy's hand shot up to his throat mic. His mouth opened.
Stop him.
JB pulled the trigger. The pulse rifle hung, and a fraction of an instant later, a smoking slot appeared in the middle of the man's forehead. His jaw slammed shut, and he grimaced, showing all his teeth. Then the trooper's hand slowly fell away from his throat, and his eyes glazed over. The wound was through the backside of his skull and into the floor. The smell of flash-cooked brains and melted plastic filled the room. JB had to step back.
Damn, that's nasty.
Ryan knelt down and checked the cube. Whatever it wasn't a comp.
Come on, JB. We're wasting time here.
Taking the laser rifle with them, they exited the room and moved down the tubular hallway, following the directions of the first trooper. After taking the left-hand fork, a squad of troopers appeared around a turn ahead. JB and Ryan ducked into an open room to avoid them. They surprised four men who were working over a long table.
What the?
They were dressed in charcoal gray fatigues, splattered with blood and bodily fluids. One of them was cramming what looked like a deer haunch into a monstrous pulverizing or liquefying machine. The whirring blades turned the red meat into a red paste. The blades stopped whirring. The other men held cleavers and long knives. They stopped what they were doing, too. Ryan and JB had stumbled into the invaders' kitchen. It was impossible to tell from the butchers' faces if they realized the intruders were imposters. With armed men bearing down on them, there was no room for error.
Ah, fuck it.
JB shot one of them immediately, pinning the trigger and slashing the light beam across the man's head. Due to the steeply angled cut, the top of the man's skull slid off, along with most of his right ear. The butcher fell to the floor behind the table.
Don't fucking move. Don't make a fucking sound.
The butchers obeyed. The squad of troopers passed the doorway without looking in or stopping.
Tar, knife, what's that smell?
Ryan could smell it too, right through his helmet. Because the otherworlders had come from a world stripped of its native species, protein on the hoof was a new delicacy for them. The table in front of the butchers was heaped with animal carcasses and offal. All of them had been killed with lasers. Most were missing one or more essential parts. Plucked songbirds sat pink and naked in a big pile of feathers. A pair of buzzards lay likewise stripped and gutted. They were lizards of all sizes, some in their skins and some without. Ryan recognized the jumbled parts of gophers, prairie dogs, jackrabbits, and antelope. There were honking big Deathlands bugs, too. 8-inch-long cockroaches, scorpions as big as chihuahuas, spiders the size of basketballs. One of the butchers had been feeding shovelfuls of these insects into a huge pulverizing unit, along with leaves and branches of shrubs and bushes. The contents of the pulverizers went directly into a row of 20-gallon pots that sat on propane burners. It wasn't the animal carcasses that stank so badly. It was the beige, glutinous slop simmering in the pots.
What we had to eat at Ground Zero suddenly doesn't seem quite so bad.
Looks to me like these guys are packing themselves a big picnic lunch.
Ryan pointed at the 10-gallon plastic jugs lined up along the wall. Some were already sealed with lids. Others had funnels poked down their mouths. There was beige slop inside all of them, and it was spilled down their sides and onto the floor.
Where are you going?
How are you getting there?
How? I'll tell you how.
The butcher threw his meat cleaver. His right hand moved in a blur. Before Ryan could dodge, the cleaver struck him in the middle of the visor.
Motherfucker!
The point of the blade penetrated the armor by about half an inch. JB cut loose on the guy at once, drawing a smoking line from his chin to his crotch. The bloodless wound gaped so wide that JB could see the wall on the other side through it.
Jesus Christ! I need me one of these!
With his innards neatly divided and 95% of his spine vaporized, the butcher slumped across the table, then slowly melted to the floor. The other butchers were moving in opposite directions, at high speed behind the cover of the table. JB sawed the legs out from under one side of it, dropping the top, and dumping the collection of dead things onto the floor. Then he sliced the overturned tabletop in half lengthwise. Behind it, one of the surviving men was also cut in two. The third ran for the open door. JB kept the trigger pinned and swung the muzzle up his crack, in the process cutting through the bubbling pots, spilling 70 gallons of slop, shattering the assembled beakers and electronic toxicity analyzers and chopping machines. The laser crossed the man's midsection. The top half of his body fell backward as his legs fell forward. Both sections crashed to the floor.
Let's get out of here quick.
Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, let's go.
At least let me get that fucking cleaver out of your face.
Whatever.
Outside, the hallway was clear. They left the kitchen and continued on until JB noticed the gasketed door, which was shut.
This could be it, Ryan.
The one-eyed warrior reached for the door's locking wheel. He heard the sounds of violent struggle on the other side, landed blows, scuffling feet.
What the hell?
God damn it!
In the lee of the boiling water tank, Jack held up his fingers for Mildred to see and counted them down to zero. Words weren't necessary between the teenaged albino and the cryogenically preserved black woman. Based on the situation and past experience, they knew exactly what had to be done. Jack coiled himself and sprang for the water tank's twisted ladder. Though the tank was tipped over, the ladder offered a protected route topside. The rear of the crumpled cylinder was hidden from the view of the troopers massed on the flatland, but not from the heat of their concentrated laser fire. Showers of white-hot sparks rained on him, and the ladder rung scalded his hands as he climbed.
Ah, fuck!
On the other side of the compound, Mildred was likewise trying to gain some elevation on their...